If you remember a few years back, actually in 2023, we started the new year that year with a series that we called Gospel Reset, kind of an opportunity to recalibrate our lives according to the gospel. Last year, we did a series to open the new year on prayer. And so to start 2026, we're going to do a short series on spiritual disciplines, regular habits of believers that are absolutely essential to bolster our faith. We know that physical training, Paul says to Timothy, is of some value, but train yourselves for godliness. So discipline can often feel off-putting, but yet it is essential for us to even train ourselves for godliness. Our topics are going to be the Word, worship, and giving. And so when we think about the Word, we obviously started a Read Through the Bible in a Year series. We started that on New Year's Day, January 1. If you haven't started with us, you know what? There's no better day to start than right now. You know, Job 29 is a brilliant place to start reading the Bible. So scan that QR code, start today. Really, start wherever you begin. It's God's Word. You know, you can catch up later. But just jump in, and that's tied in with the Grace Point group. But one of the chapters we read recently in the book of Job is Job 23. We'll use that as the way of understanding the Word and the discipline of the Word in our lives. So would you stand with me? Job 23, starting in verse 8, where Job is recounting and struggling with so much of what's going on in his life. He says, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I do not perceive him. On the left hand, when he is working, I do not behold him. He turns to the right hand, but I do not see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and have not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandments of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. But he is unchangeable, and who can turn him back? What he desires, that he does. For he will complete what he appoints for me, and many such things are in his mind." Let's pray. God, teach us much by your word. God, by the power of the Spirit, would you truly convey to us your character, our need of the gospel. God, help us to not just hear it, not just know it intellectually, but God, take it and hide it in our hearts. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Back in the 1700s, there was a man named William Cooper. It's actually, if you look it up, it's spelled Cowper, but it's pronounced Cooper. He was filled with suffering and loss, and his life, during that, he suffered with great depression. Even at one point, entered what they called at that time the insane asylum. And through depression, Cooper discovered his love of poetry. And in that treatment center, the asylum, one doctor taught him about God's word and taught him the gospel of grace, and it's there that he embraced Christ. And so as he left the asylum, he met a friend, John Newton. And if you know anything about him writing, John Newton was the one who came to Christ radically out of the slave trade to where he wrote the hymn Amazing Grace, among many others. It was at one point that Newton asked Cooper to help him write a hymnal. So these two who loved poetry, Cooper suffered deeply in this life, yet was struggling to convey the truth of God. I came across a hymn that I was really unfamiliar with this week, and it's entitled "God Moves in a Mysterious Way," written by William Cooper. He was wrestling with God and His Word. And really, in a sense, he couldn't see God, he couldn't feel God, yet he knew that God saw him and would use him. Words from this hymn: God works His sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. And hear these phrases. As he wrestled with the sovereignty of God, taught in His Word, with the deep suffering in his life, he wrote that behind a frowning providence, he, God, hides a smiling face. That his purpose, describing his purposes as a flower, will ripen fast. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain, but God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. And how does God make his will and his purpose and an interpretation of suffering, how does he make it plain? Is in his word. And as Job, one who has suffered greatly in this world, he's wrestling with these very things. That God's word becomes our treasure. And God's word becomes our treasure when? Oftentimes when we can't see him. You're saying, well, we always can't see him. God is not physical in our presence. But that's really what Job is saying here. Not just see with his eyes, but perceive, behold. He says this in verse 8, behold, I go forward, but he's not there. I go backwards, I don't perceive him. On the left hand, when he's working, I don't behold him. He turns to the right hand, but I do not seek him. What do you hear? Is a man who desperately wants to know God. A man who desperately wants to see God and feel his presence. In a sense, where are you, God? Forward, backward, left, right, he's not there, I don't perceive him. I don't behold him. I do not see him. Have you ever had that experience where you simply don't feel God? You can't see him. He feels distant or silent. Oftentimes it happens in the middle of suffering, in the middle of difficulty, because struggle and loss are just disorienting to life. Yet it can also happen in times of prosperity and gain when we're even blinded by life going well. It's times when God can feel distant. God's hard to find. You'll not always feel God's presence, but what do we know to be true? He is working. You don't see him, but he's working. You might not feel him, but he is there. In this idea of kind of having God's word meet us in the middle of our suffering, it frees us from the danger of interpreting life according to our experience. You know, how we interpret our circumstances is shaped by all sorts of things. Our culture, what culture says life is all about. And so when our life doesn't match what culture is saying, well, there must be something wrong. People around you telling you all sorts of things. Job's wife, curse God and die. Job's friends, well, you must have done something to deserve this, Job, or else this wouldn't be happening to you. And if your only lens of understanding is culture and the voices that you hear in culture, or even your friends, trusted friends around you, you are in great danger. Because it's God's word that gives us an understanding of God, of ourselves, and of life in this broken world. It gives us understanding of a lot more things than that. But for today, we're going to use those. That it's God's word that tells us that when we can't see him, when we can't feel him, when he feels distant, Job says this. He turns to the right, but I do not see him, but he, God, knows the way that I take. Basically, when we can't see him, he sees us. It's God's word that reminds us of this fact, that the struggles of life become actually, rather than a reason to run away from the word of God, they become a motivator towards it, that we would find perspective. How do I make sense of any of these struggles? That when you say and think, I can't feel God, that ought to be the thing that drives you to his word. When you can't see God, you need to hear his voice, and God's word becomes our treasure. So when we think about spiritual disciplines, it's one thing to, you know what, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to just do it every day, and I'm going to read the Bible no matter what. It's another to treasure something. We always do what we love. If you're a football fan, I don't have to tell you that the playoffs are on this afternoon. It's going to be on TV, right? You didn't put it in your calendar, but you're going to do it. You're not going to miss. We do what we love. We do what we treasure. So it's one thing to say, I have an obligation. It's another to chase after something we love. And so suffering, struggle, loss actually gives us a motivator to be in the Word. When I can't find God, he sees me. When I can't find God, I keep walking. When I can't find God, I treasure his word. Because God's word becomes our treasure, not simply when we can't see him, but it's when our faith is tested. The struggles of life are far more than roadblocks or hurdles. If you know Christ in this room, and I understand that probably not everyone in here has embraced Christ by faith, but if you have, the struggles of this life are from the hand of God, under his sovereign care, given to you by God and his grace. Don't miss the second half of verse 10. That he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. That idea of trying is to test metals by melting them down. It's the kind of in a metaphorical sense, it's to examine something, to test something or someone. So when your faith is tested, this is often the time when we run from God and run from his word. We lack motivation for it. We don't understand what God is doing. Therefore, we avoid reading God's word. Who can relate to that? But instead, it's precisely then that we need God's word. He's refining us through trial, through testing. And if God's refining us through those things and through examination, we ought to be in his word to understand those things all the more. Just like an ancient goldsmith, they would heat the gold up and skim off the impurities until what? They could see their reflection in the metal. And Job says, what? I shall come out as gold. The only way that that happens is verse 12. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. We'll get to that in a second. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. In the middle of suffering and difficulty, God's word becomes our treasure. Treasure is, it's from that root to hide something, to keep something, to save something. Something that we hold dear and keep. Well, it's the same exact word that Psalm 119 verse 11 has. Here it's translated stored up. I have stored up or treasured your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The NIV translation of this, I have hidden your word in my heart. I've tucked it in there. I've taken it on. It's mine, and I carry it around. So The spiritual discipline of the Word in our lives is far more than simply reading it. But that's a good start. If you're not reading the Word, there's no way you can hide it. If you're not in the Word, there's no way it can be your treasure. So how do I store up God's Word? How do we treasure it, hold on to it like we cannot live without it? Well, we have to begin by reading it. Did you know that as a church, we're doing a one-year read through the Bible? And I think it's a great thing that we would read the Bible together. My favorite part is that we're doing it together. Who's tried to read the Bible in a year and quit by like the second week of the year, right? Lots of hands, right? Or Leviticus just took you out. And don't worry, we're coming up on Leviticus. But we need to be in the Word regularly. You define what regular means. Before the Lord. And then read it, study it, examine it, search it with depth. Read it in context, meaning whatever verse you're reading ties to that chapter, that book of the Bible, and the entirety of the Word. You start to see that everything written in the Bible, Old Testament to New, is all pointing to Jesus and His gospel. And so when we go to the table, this is a visible word of the written Word of God. We, in a sense, eat the Word of God at the table, because God is teaching and conveying the truth of the gospel to us. Wrestle with the Word. Embrace it then. Ask it, what do we do? What do we need to think? What needs to change? How should I feel? Because we just sang it in that song, Christ Be Magnified. I won't be formed by feelings. I'll hold fast to what is true. Where does that come from? Is not your mind and heart and not mind, my mind and heart. It comes from the Word of God. And Job is saying, I have learned to treasure God's Word more than my portion of food. And so when God's Word becomes our treasure, it is our treasure when? It is our treasure as we learn how to live. What we see in this passage is Job speaking about faith in action. There is a knowledge component to faith. You know, William Cooper wrote about blind unbelief. We have a tangible, logical, rational, reasonable faith. It makes sense in the Word of God, but faith becomes action. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So here Job, in the middle of turmoil, is seeking to keep the commandments of God. We often say, oh, this is my pass to disobey. God is saying, this is my call to obey even more so. Job says it this way in verse 11. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I've treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. God's Word, God's commandments are absolutely needful for him, even more than daily provision of food, is what he's saying. Knowing God and knowing how to live. In the newsletter, on the website, there are great study questions. If you're in a group, discussion questions of, all right, I read the Word. Now, what in the world do I do with it? At the end of that list, there's like 12 questions. Right in the middle, what do these verses reveal about humanity? What's it reveal about me? My needs, my sins, my fears, my hopes? How can I apply this in my life? Another way of asking it, what sins do these passages warn you about? How might these passages guide how we love one another? Where do you feel resistance to what this passage or these passages teach, and why do you feel that resistance? What do these passages invite us to be thankful for? Basically, what is God calling you to do? Or maybe even, what is God calling you to change? Or how is God calling you to think differently? You know, as we learn how to live, we need the Word of God. Because the world says chase after all sorts of things. What does God say? But also, God's Word is our treasure as we know God's heart for us. When life is hard, we need to be reoriented. Loss, struggle, pain, they really knock us off, right? And in God's Word, we know His heart for us. Hear these verses in verse 13, that He, or but He, and that really that could be an and or together with, that He, God, is unchangeable. And who can turn Him back? What He desires that He does, for He will complete what He appoints for me, and many such things are in His mind. When you read the Word of God, you come face to face with the character of God. And in verse 13, He is unchanging. He is all-powerful. Who can turn Him back? He accomplishes His will. What He desires, that He does. The second part of this is verse 14. We see God's sovereign plan, that He will complete these things. But He will complete what He appoints for me. Even more, there's many such things on His mind. So that He knows me, He knows you. I'll do it first person. He knows me when I can't see Him. He understands when I don't understand. He can be trusted when I feel like He can't be trusted. He's unchangeable when I am swaying back and forth. He does what He desires, and it is always good. He will bring His plan and His purpose to completion, even when I can't see what it is. That we are called to not just know those things about God, but I would say wrestle with them. Because who said this? Job. Blessed beyond measure, walking with the Lord in righteousness, a faith that was in action, a faith that was real, and then God takes away everything, allows everything to be lost in his life. So how then would you wrestle with what God appoints for me? You had blessing on top of blessing. You walked with the Lord. Now you have nothing, and all you taste is loss. I love the honesty of Job. I love the honesty of the Bible. That when all blessings in this life were taken away, he cursed the day he was born. He wished that he had never lived. And so when Job says, he will complete, God will complete what he appoints for me, then the verses that follow right after this, verses 15 to 17 make sense. Therefore, I am terrified in his presence. That's an honest statement. God brings about what he appoints for me. I'm terrified in the presence of God then. Because I had every blessing, I was walking with him, and now I taste suffering. When I consider, I'm in dread of him. God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. You're like, that is an odd place to end a sermon. But there's verse 17. Yet I am not silenced because of the darkness, nor because thick darkness covers my face. It's in the midst of suffering, when going back to those 15 and 16, he doesn't understand. I can't comprehend what God is doing. God appoints things into my life. He brings them about by his sovereign will, and that terrifies him because it doesn't make sense. And you're probably at some point, either have been or might be right now, in the middle of something that doesn't make sense, but you know God is sovereign. You know God could remove this, but he doesn't. Is he still good? To answer that, you cannot go to your own heart and mind. It is only in the Word of God that that we run to wrestle with. And then God gives us voice. I'm not silenced by the darkness, by the thick darkness that covers us. God gives us voice to our struggle. God gives us perspective to what we don't understand. And it's there that we find the gospel of His grace. The spiritual discipline of being in the Word is to, number one, be in it, but then to hide it, to make it our treasure, to hide it in our heart that we might have it ever before us. We're trying to read the Bible in a year, daily readings, yes. If you miss a day, it's okay. Just pick up wherever you are, because it's about knowing God's Word in order to know Him, in order to know the gospel, that we might bury it in our hearts, hide it in our hearts, that it becomes our very life, even more than a portion of food. Pray that God would do that for us. Let's pray. God, I pray that You would take Your Word. God, I pray that it would sink deep into our hearts. And as we go to the table this morning, God, I pray that as we partake of a representation and a sign of Your amazing grace, God, I pray that we would not leave the same. God, help us to know in the middle of our suffering, Jesus suffered far more greatly than we could. It doesn't diminish the pain and the hurt, but God, that You meet us there. God, I pray that Your Word would speak to us greatly. God, give us that discipline to know You, to wrestle with You, and then to take those things to heart. And pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.